Greetings and welcome to the Paul Kagame podcast. Oh, sorry, it's Afrolog. Today we have many issues to talk about. We want to talk about Congo. We want to talk about Stormzy and black artists. We want to talk about Ebola. We want to talk about a range of different things. So let's just get into it. There are lots of people here today. First thing, quick update, Ebola. Recently, there's been an outbreak again of Ebola. There have been two deaths across the border in Uganda, and Congo officials admit that they're struggling to identify and track the cases of Ebola. Some people in the Congolese government are denying that there's any problem with Ebola, but charities are reporting an outbreak of more than 2,100 cases. Wow. And more than 1,412 confirmed deaths. Despite the availability of an effective experimental vaccine. So the World Health Organization and the Congolese Ministry of Health faces some political, security, cultural complexities. So there is that opinion about an outbreak of Ebola in the Congo. That's been kind of going on in the background for a while now. Just wanted to give a quick update on that. But so let's start with Yuande. Yeah, I want to talk about Love Island. We want to talk about the
Yuande, baby.
This is not just us talking about Love Island. This is about the representation of black women in mainstream media, right? But we're talking about Yuande, right?
So specifically,
I've spoken to a few people about this, and we think that there's been a there's this opinion that the show Love Island has been edited in a specific way to make Yuande, who is a black woman and at the time was the only black woman on the show, to make her look bad, to make her look like she had an attitude problem, and to represent her in that way because it makes good TV. How do we feel about that?
In my personal opinion,
I think she just wasn't entertaining. I think she was just boring.
I think to go into the wider context, apart from entertainment, is I think often when black women, especially in the mainstream media, voice out their views, they're ultimately positioned as passive aggressive or being very aggressive.
Yes. Mm.
So I think in terms of if for example, a a white female and a black female say the same thing, the way it's positioned, one could be positioned as a victim, while the other might be positioned as an aggressor.
Or one is passionate, the other one is aggressive.
One is passionate and one is aggressive. Yeah, I take Aura's point. Yeah. So the point is, it's not about entertainment. The point is, are black women being positioned in a way that is not commercially friendly? And it just feeds into cultural stereotypes, racial stereotypes, which as a result hinders their, not only their commercial futures, but it hinders how we interact with those particular characters.
And also on Dami's point about Yuande being boring, I find that very...
Kamisha's point.
Oh, sorry.
Kamisha's point. Okay. Please, Twitter will drag me. You lot tried to drag me last time with my comments about poverty in Africa. Everyone tried to drag me, so don't let them drag me again.
Okay, sorry.
This was Kamisha talking about people being boring, not Dami. Because people will start fighting me on Instagram, okay?
Sorry about that, guys. That was so, you know, I'm so used to Dami providing the problematic. So basically, on Kamisha's point, saying that Yuande is boring, I think that's very much about the editing of the show, to be honest. She wasn't given as much airtime as the other girls. I do understand that the Love Island show, I guess, you get more airtime the more sort of dramatic or interesting your coupling is. But first off the bat, no guy that came in there was for Yuande. She did not.
That's
find
the point. She went there knowing that it's going to be lots of
white
males.
Men. Maybe she doesn't mind dating white men, and there's absolutely no problem with that if she wants to date white men. That's all calm and that's all good. But doesn't mean that because there are white men there and she's into white men, that the white men available are the ones that she's interested in, first of all.
100%.
It's not by force to find them attractive. They just might 100%. Not be attractive in terms of physically to her and in terms of personality-wise. And honestly, I don't think anybody there was personality-wise matching with hers. But then that's only my knowledge from sort of like an outsider's view.
I think because...
Right? So I think it's a bit unfair to say that she's uninteresting, because I mean, from her Instagram, she looks like she might be an interesting girl. She looks like the kind of girl that maybe is coming out of her shell a little bit, wants to experience life and go out more, wear less, all that kind of life.
Hold on, is she single?
She obviously.
By the way, I'm. Oh right, yeah. By the way, I'm single. Can we tell the audience I'm single, just in case?
You're disgusting.
No, what? There's nothing. Don't listen to him. Listen. I'm just saying. Well, do you know what? Well, if there was a Black Love Island, I would go on it.
But seriously. Then somebody said, if there was a Black Love Island, the talking stage will go on for like a year.
Of course. What do you mean?
People's parents are watching.
And secondly, no, like, I'm not easy. Who does he think he is?
Just on that point, what Ori mentioned is, like, before Twitter comes at me like the furnace of hell.
that's deep.
My point is this. I think, look, my first point, which I made previously, I think that's an important point. My second point is watching Year One Day. The point is, I think she missed the point of what the show was.
To be honest.
On the basis of, oh, I don't emotionally open up.
Yeah.
I'm emotionally stush. Babe, this, you are
fair.
On Prime TV.
Yeah.
We want a...
You need to move fast.
You need to move fast.
Yeah.
It's literally like a game of musical chairs. Yeah. There's coupling, recoupling.
Yeah.
People are moving like a pack of cards.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a time of whereby you're trying to push up your bridal price, babe.
No, it's not the time. You need to shoot your shot.
So, like, at first on Twitter, because I know some people, the Twitter trolls might try to use my words back at me. At first, I thought like, oh, Danny seems like a bit like a scumbag. But the reality is, which happens in real life, is if a girl, like, is easy because I'm in a relationship. But at the end of the day, like, I have enough confidence in my source and the fact that if you're being ambiguous and I see a girl that is a bit saucy and you're not paying me attention, that girl pays me attention, bye-bye.
Yeah, I get that point. I think, like, the issue that a lot of people had with Arabella, and I'm making a point to pronounce her name properly because I feel like it's
Umbrella. Umbrella. Ella. Ella.
Oh my God.
You're so childish.
What else did they call her? Arabeski.
Can you stop? Somebody called her Arabiata.
Isn't that a bread? Isn't that a bread or something?
No, it's pasta, isn't it? No, it's pasta.
Oh, it's pasta. God. Oh, sorry.
Arabeski. Back to his point.
I do not want to engage in the buttering of her name because I think it's really unfair. And if we're talking about mental health of Love Island people, I think we actually should take that on board.
Like, all right, back to Ian's point.
Yeah. So Okay,
you're talking about Arabia again.
No. Oh my God. I was talking about Arabella.
Oh,
okay.
Umbrella.
So, I just did.
Grow up. Let me grow up. Grow up. Grow up.
Oh, you just ignore it. Continue.
Somebody low-key called her Arabeti Arabata, and I just died. I was like, that's God's name. Like, can we not? But that's so mean. Can we not do that, please? So my point about because I'm not going to say her name again for some childish people to pick up on that. My point about the new girl was the fact that she had a good connection with Anton and they got on really well, but for some reason she just felt like she had to pursue Danny when one day started showing him quote unquote more affection, whichever way people want to interpret what affection is.
I guess,
fair enough, it could be the easy way out and for TV purposes, pursue the guy who's already taken or whatever.
Yeah.
But my issue with her was just like, look, this girl likes this guy likes this girl. You just come in, you also have a good connection with someone else, right? Why do you have to make a point?
The game is the game.
Like, Oyen, that was my only issue.
Oyen, to answer that, at the end of the day, the way I see Arabella is, it's like a game, it's like football. She's a clinical striker. She saw her target. She knew she can shoot a shot and she shot her shot. And you know what? This is why I tell, for example.
But she's 28. Danny's 21. That's so gross.
But age, hold on. Age.
Shout out to Danny.
Age is
Shout out to Danny.
Hold on. Age is relative in that situation at the end of the day. If you're feeling a person and that's what you're into, then that's what you're into. This is the problem with, for example, I think sometimes with females.
Let me finish my point.
I've got much love with my females, but you know the women that I respect the most, the women that are not afraid. Look, I want to make it very, very, very clear. I am not shooting a shot against females. I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to say, for example, that I'm not trying to like discredit a female. What I'm saying is, if you see a guy and you're into him, is there anything wrong with you shooting your shot and say, look, I find you very attractive. And if you sense that he will feel the same way, simply telling the guy, oh, let's see how it goes. I would like to get to know you. Mm. Is there anything wrong with that?
But the tradition is very different from what you're saying, because ultimately they're thinking, I can't handle the rejection. Meanwhile, we've been primed to handle rejection from them.
Yeah. But that's when, for example, the cultural narrative needs to change, because women want to be positioned in the same light as men. And if you want to be positioned, that means sometimes I'm sure we've all been there. We've tried to move to a girl. We get rejected.
Never.
It is what it is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Sorry, your sauce is, you know.
My point is.
But then you're single, but so yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Now, can I ask you a question? Ask a question about that? If this thing was reversed, right?
Yeah.
If women shot their shot more,
yeah.
Do you think Me Too would be less of an issue?
Yes. Yes.
I think Me Too would be less of an issue when men stop being dicks, you know? Whichever way.
All I'm saying, I
hear that. No, that's valid. I was
literally on the train today, by the way. This is a side note. I was on the train today and I was sitting right in front of this old white guy and I could see his dick.
What?
Wait, hold on.
What do you mean?
Do it involuntary or like?
I don't know.
Was he trying to do it to show you or what?
All I know is,
what?
He was sat like this. He was wearing jean shorts and I could see his penis because he wasn't wearing pants. He wasn't wearing underpants.
Bloody
and
hell.
I had to get up wow. and move.
But I'm trying to find out if he was doing that with the intention.
I genuinely
don't
know. All I know is, why are you leaving your house without underpants?
Valid.
Why are you leaving your house without underpants? It's not that hot. You can actually just
let him be free. Let him be free, my guy.
You're the worst.
That's my point.
It's disgusting.
You shouldn't wait. In year one day situation specifically, is you shouldn't wait for someone to try to. When someone is trying to then get your man's attention before you know he's available. Like, bro, he's out here.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's more like, you're asking me what you bring into the table? What are you bringing to the table?
Okay, all right. So can I just introduce another aspect since we're talking about this?
Yeah.
The Gambian president or the ex-Gambian president was recently accused of rape. The Gambian government has actually called on all women and girls in the country to report any sexual violence committed by the president, Yahya Jammeh.
Who's calling for it?
As in the Gambian government is now saying to the public,
really?
Anyone who's been sexually abused by this man, come forward.
I thought it was just international news media.
Well, this is the thing. They're saying that we as a party and the Gambian people are tired of the steady stream of unfounded allegations that have been reported against our ex-president. So they're denying it. The party is denying it, but that's an allegation that has happened. And we're talking about kind of sexual abuse.
Well, I wouldn't expect them to admit it, to be fair.
We're not talking about sexual abuse, but yeah.
well, we're talking about Me Too.
I think ultimately, look, rape is a disgusting thing that should not take place. Any sort of sexual violence, whether to male or female, should not be taking place in our society.
Amen.
However, my only concern is not individual specific, is we shouldn't have a trial by media before the person's held accountable.
But that's the society that we live in.
There's nothing wrong with trial by media.
That's the society that we live in. I'm sorry.
Okay, let me give you an example. You know what?
You lot were defending media earlier.
One second.
That's not fair. Do you know
I
what?
Am Fine. Defending
one moment.
The media.
Do you know when it becomes very problematic? When, for example, someone is found not guilty and because a trial by media has happened, that stain will be with them.
But no one cares.
But the problem is just because you're not guilty in court, that doesn't mean you didn't do it.
Yeah, that's what people hold on to.
Yeah, exactly.
That shit.
No one
that's
cares.
What,
fair enough.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it's like, and just to quickly, it's like Mike Tyson going to jail for rape when we were younger in the 90s.
Yeah.
And there are people who still put him on their shows now because they're like, we don't think Mike did it. I'm like, bro, he was convicted. He was in jail.
He was
in jail. But do you get what I mean?
So just to make it clear, I do not condone any sort of physical violence.
Exactly. So were the Central Park Five. True. Exactly.
So were the Central Park Five.
And it's only because they've been released that we can then... And because they were...
Even if they were still in jail, I'd be like, they didn't do it.
How would
even
you
OJ. OJ is innocent, fam. OJ is innocent.
Too much.
I don't care.
You play too much.
OJ is innocent. OJ is innocent.
Well, OJ has actually gone to jail for armed robbery, kidnapping.
He's on Twitter now.
OJ's on Instagram, just to let you know.
Yeah, he's got Twitter as well.
Has he got gloves? He's wearing gloves with baseball bats on there.
You make me freaking sick.
Just to make it clear, I do not condone any sort of violence.
I do not share the views of Dami. All my views are my own.
Of Dami. Just in case the Twitter trolls trying to accuse me of condoning.
No, I'm just saying, listen, I'm a law student. I'm a law student and OJ was not convicted. Therefore,
he's guilty of other things.
He's guilty of that stuff. Just all right, cool.
Okay. So anyway, on the point of the Gambian ex-Gambian president. So basically,
we'll bring in Koza in a second.
Wait, just one second. Yaya Jammeh, basically the woman that's come forward. I think her name is Tufa. She was an ex-beauty queen, and basically, what used to happen is when you are a beauty queen, you get to meet this top people because your role is supposed to be implementing different community programs as the beauty queen, right? Mm-hmm. And so she got to meet the president at that time, the ex-president now. And so what happened was he invited her into his chambers and drugged her. And
allegedly.
Well, okay, it's all allegation. We got that.
Yeah.
He drugged her and then he had his way with her. And then when she was leaving, one of his aides came and told her that, look, he's the president. Like, he's got too many people. If you ever try to report this, like, we will support him. Like, we will come for you kind of situation. And she's living in Canada now. That's why she's able to tell her story. And I think that she's probably most likely, I would say like 80%, I would support her statement just because it's the ex-president. This is the same man of Gambia. This is the same man who said that he found a cure for HIV. And he got people drinking potions and whatnot. I'm serious. This is on the BBC. Like, legit. So
are you supporting... Are you supporting the allegation?
Yeah, because, I think that he did that shit.
Because he's made some
potions. Comments.
Yeah, because that's a track record.
So a track record of lies.
It's not a track record of rape. It's a track record of acting like a madman.
So because you make absurd comments, hold on. That, you know what? Look, I want to make it clear. I'm not defending the man because I wasn't there ultimately, but the notion because someone makes unfounded comments and is therefore accused of rape, and then you say because he's made unfounded comments or absurd comments, he therefore is guilty of rape because he's had the track record of saying lying.
Because for me, no. Wow. It would make more sense if he had Hold on. I'm saying if there was a track record of accusations of rape.
There have been accusations. She's not the only woman.
You mentioned that he lied about HIV. Anyway, so I was thinking, if there was a track record about the rape, then yes, I believe.
On a real note.
Oye, would you like, hold on, because let's give Oye a chance.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to engage in a conversation that makes me pity someone who's potentially raped someone.
No, we're not talking.
No, that's not the point I'm making.
That's not the point I'm making at all. When you said that because he's lied about HIV,
he was almost killing people.
But Oyin,
people were almost dying because Oyin, of his point, claim but Oyin, that he point, freaking Oyin, found a cure for Oyin, HIV.
But maybe Oyin, he did find a cure for HIV.
But he didn't.
I think it's very important that we represent each other's views as it is.
As it is, exactly.
Me and Ora's view was this. Mm-hmm. If you're saying, for example,
this we get your view.
Hold on one second. It's very important to clarify this. The initial comment was he's had a history of making unfounded comments, mm-hmm. e.g., he has a potion for to cure HIV.
Exactly.
And therefore, I 80% and believe the woman's testimony, mm-hmm. linking in because he's made unfounded comments, is not a way to say he's guilty. If Oyin said, for example, look, he's like Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah,
Harvey
exactly, Weinstein. Like Harvey Weinstein.
He's had a history of it. So therefore, I'm likely to believe that because there's Countless Harvey Weinstein saying Jesus Christ is coming next year, therefore he's guilty of rape.
That's what I'm trying to say. I have to defend myself when it comes to things like this because it's going to look like I'm the one trying to defend him. 100%. No way. I'm not going to have
let's
that
make
at
it,
all.
Let's make it clear. Make the ex-president will be tried. The ex-president, whether he did that is a matter of his conscience, but we do not condone any sort of physical violence on male and female.
Okay, all right. Look, so let's add...
Hold on, just before we go. The point is, he also has... I can't say history regarding whether or not he's raped other people, but it's only just now that it's coming into the public eye. And it's not just one woman. There's also a series of women. While, fair enough, even if my point on him creating a quote-unquote cure for HIV AIDS, even if
he might have done it, it might be real.
Dami, just...
You play too
Dami.
Much, man.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Please don't interrupt me. Even if it was slightly off track, my point is there is not enough evidence yet, but there are now people coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay, thank you. Forward. Okay, thank you. So... let's talk about COSA. This is a big one. Oh yeah, you want to introduce? All right, go. Yeah. Talk the talk. Yeah.
So, okay, Kamisha, I don't know if you've seen this around social media. I don't know if you follow Nigerian news at all. But there's a pastor called Biodu Fatoibo, and he's the general overseer.
A pastor.
He's the general overseer, so like the senior pastor of this church called Commonwealth of Zion Assembly. And it started like over a decade ago in Kwara State in Ilorin, Nigeria. And so what's come out now is a popular singer, wedding singer, recording artist, Timi Dakolo, his wife, Busola Dakolo, has come out recently that she was raped by him when she was about 16, 17. She was raped by him twice in the same week. She was about 16, 17 at that time.
Wow. Yeah.
And was raped by him twice in 1 week. And basically, this is not the first allegation against this pastor.
S.A. Walters.
Yeah. So gang. About five years ago S.A. Walters.
It feels like more than that.
It could have been.
It was like 2012 or something.
Yeah. She came out with a story about actually a consensual relationship with the pastor, but it was very much a power imbalance, right?
Okay.
And everybody, it was very public and yada, yada, yada. Apparently, he actually addressed it in his congregation. I didn't hear about that, but apparently he addressed it in his congregation and it was apparently suspended for that for a few weeks or months or whatever. But on this Busola Dakolo issue, it's come out now because Timi Dakolo, her husband, has had to deal with that. The fact that his wife is a rape victim.
Yeah.
And the fact that she has a lot of trauma from that, that he's recently supported her in helping her to get the help that she very much needed.
Mm.
And it's got to a point where there now have been rumors about her saying that she was actually, in fact, having an affair with the pastor when she was 16, 17. And the point that people are also trying to say is the fact that even if she was consensually, and I say this in quotes,
it's not right.
It's not right. He was a pastor. He was married and he had a kid, right? First of all, and you're in a position as a spiritual leader, you shouldn't be doing that shit anyway.
Mm.
And third of all,
no, don't even talk about the spiritual leader part. She was a minor.
Exactly. I was getting to that point. Yeah, she was a minor. So it was absolutely rape, whether or not in the eyes of anybody, it could have been consensual, which she says it's not, it was never consensual. So that's the issue at hand today, and there have been so many stories.
I think what's been disappointing has been the members of that church.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What's been really, really disappointing is, and the things that I've seen, not that I haven't seen this before from Nigerians, no disrespect, but.
Disrespect.
And the thinking, which is that, oh, if it happened then, why didn't you say it then?
Yeah.
Am I thinking trauma doesn't.
Yeah,
exactly. And in fact, trauma can disable you from actually speaking.
Yeah.
And so can shock and all that. And I've been very, very, if I can use the word disturbed, things like they're trying to use this for fame. I think
someone said he's trying to use it to sell records.
That could be true too. That can be true too.
But it is sickening.
That's very reductive. It's reductive.
It's very unfair. It's very unfair because
you don't know what he's dealing with at home.
Yeah, no, I'm just making the point that you can also say, okay, oh, well, this is the story, and then use it strategically.
But she's not the only one.
She's not the only one.
No. I'm just saying that's possible as well. Yeah.
The way the story was unfolding, right? Timi Dakolo had challenged pastors in general, right? He never mentioned a name. Last year, he said something publicly, and this year, he said something publicly as well, but he never mentioned names. The reason why Busola has come out now is because people have been saying that the paternity of her children should be questioned.
Yeah.
They are now, what they are doing now is they're trying to tarnish her character, and they're trying to build a case against her to make her look like she was quote-unquote asking for it, because, and that she doesn't have necessarily like a good lifestyle to emulate. And I keep saying to people, whether or not she's had kids by other men, and honestly, I really don't know. I actually don't know what the truth about that is. It's absolutely no
irrelevant. It doesn't, business. It doesn't matter.
It does not matter to the case at hand. She was raped at 16, 17 when she hadn't had kids.
I think just to add to Aura's point, I think sometimes, even aside from this issue specifically, I think sometimes what is a problem for the African community is there's almost this get over it mentality.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
So like, for example, it's happened now, you need to get over it.
Yep.
And I think sometimes we need to understand that we are human, and in certain instances we're emotionally driven.
Mm.
So in essence, is allow that person to be emotional, allow that person to go through a process of accepting what's happened, not in terms of accepting that it's right, but accepting the reality that they face, and allow them to almost.
Sorry. Can you call Kamisha? The thing keeps cutting out for me.
Oh. Sorry, guys. We've just lost Kamisha and we're trying to get her back. I think. Yeah. Hey, girl.
Hi.
Okay, so we lost you for a second, but yeah, we got you back.
So it's just we need to have a process of, in essence, that allow that person to grieve about that specific thing.
Yeah.
And ultimately, look, at the end of the day, even if, for instance, let's go with the absurd argument that she was having an affair with a married man. Sex with someone who was underage has happened. Yeah. That is an offence within itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's consensual or not consensual, it is an offence.
Mm-hmm. And my thing also is the fact that we're too, and this is not Nigerian, this is African, we're too quick to question their integrity first.
Yeah.
We're too quick to be like, what? I mean, as soon as the accusation has come out is, what if she's lying? Or what if she did it? Or what if she... There's always some excuse to make... There's always some excuse to be made for the man the influential man and to blame the victim.
Well, we don't know she's a victim.
To go further is... Sorry, Ori, to cut you off.
Yeah,
is,
go on.
I think... So I'm a Christian and I have a very problematic... something that disturbs me is... Do not position your pastors in a godlike status.
Yeah.
Mm. That they can
do no wrong.
They can do no wrong, or they can do no sin.
Mm.
If your pastor, and this is where, for example, some people might come, the Twitter warriors might come out, is some people idolize their pastor in a way that they see them as God, but that is absolute bullshit.
But they'd never admit that.
But then whatever, your pastor should be held accountable. Ultimately,
yeah.
And I might be going completely left on this, is if a congregation is suffering and the pastor is shining, there's a problem.
Oh, by the way, have you guys 100%. Seen this pastor?
I'll leave it.
I've seen him in Gucci.
Oh yeah,
they call him Gucci pastor.
Yeah, they call him Gucci son. They call him Gucci son or other.
So we need to reposition the what we see as our pastor, because
can I come in on this, right? Yeah. Because I told you every time I come here, I don't say it a lot, but I told you. Do you know what I mean? I told you that Africans, we need to be more critical about our religion, not just our religious leaders, but our religions.
Of course.
I keep saying it.
Yeah.
And these are kind of the problems when we get that mentality that Ali is talking
education. About. It's a lack of education.
Maybe partly.
It's also a thing that, and I was having a discussion with a friend today, that there's so much religion, and Asha said this in her song, there's so much religion, but there's so little love. We practice this Jesus, at least for those who are Christians, we practice this Jesus. Yeah. Thing, yeah, like
you gotta live it.
You gotta exactly. But God bless you. You've got to live it. You've got to accept the fact that people in positions of power can be wrong, and we need to chastise them. At the end of the day, even Paul in the Bible, when he went against whatever Caesar or whoever was in power, they put him in jail, and he wrote the Bible from jail.
But again, right? Just to add, again, I think the problem is. So
for, not the whole Bible.
So not the whole Bible, but yeah, he wrote parts of the Bible for jail.
Obviously, we know everyone comes from multi-faith backgrounds.
Yeah, and Islam. By the way, this stuff happens in Islamic communities
and
too.
The point is...
And traditional worshippers.
Whoa. We actually haven't heard that. The point... That's what we haven't heard.
That's probably because it hasn't... It's not been reported as much.
I'm sure it happens fine.
The point I'm trying to make...
traditional leaders?
Yeah, like I've never... But we...
100%.
Oh, that they sleep with women so that they can get pregnant.
Yeah, but that's not abusive. Yeah. That's not abusive. So
the point is abusive.
The point I'm trying
to... That's manipulative.
It's manipulative.
You are using your power.
If you tell them that, if you such and such and such, then I'm going to throw an egg at the wall. It's going to go on fire and you're going to become pregnant with the child that you want. Fine. But I'm just saying that...
No, I'm saying for the ones where they say you have to sleep with the priest...
The priest,
the traditional priest.
What's a traditional priest?
That's
what I'm talking about.
They come in different forms.
Oh, okay. Because the word priest just confused me.
Just to finish up, traditional healers.
They're too busy with little boys. Let's go.
Just to finish up on my point. Thank you, dear brethren. Because I had to interject there several times. The point I'm trying to make is it's not the doctrine itself, but it's the interpretation of the doctrine that is out there. So for some people, we see that they ride BMWs and they say that this is the glory of God. Hold tight, that community. Wouldn't mention a name, but hey,
maybe it is the glory of God.
Hold tight that church without mentioning any names. But
so many churches.
Each to their own, but yeah, let's continue without going on too much of a tangent.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the point really is how much we protect within the African community, particularly the African Christian community. I can't say too much for Islamic communities because I'm not familiar with that community. But within African Christian communities, the way we really try to protect spiritual leaders, it's really problematic because so many people who are going to these spiritual places to get healed are becoming even more and more broken.
It's a cult mentality. I think that's the problem. There's a cult mentality and you have they're cults. The cult mentality of cult leaders. And that's why all these super churches, you have so many pastors that are just moving mud.
When your country is destabilized.
And their congregations are allowing it.
When your country is destabilized and your government gives you no hope, you will turn to the next best thing.
That's true.
Which is religion. True. You will put your faith.
Why do they not see that their leaders spending their money and wasting their money is the same thing as their pastors?
How can they see that when they're not educated? That's an education issue. Actually an education issue.
Part of it is education.
We're privileged enough.
Why are you mad?
No.
Why are you upset with your country leaders and not your spiritual leaders?
No, the thing is, I'm not upset at all. I'm saying that essentially, if they were more educated, which is not the responsibility of the church or the mosque,
it should be.
But the thing is, ultimately, the church is not the one ruling the country. The government is.
No, but the church But the churches are so powerful that they are. I think the churches should have more responsibility.
In Nigeria, but what I'm saying is that's not the way it should be. That's not the way it is. And that's not the way it should be. Ultimately, your constitution talks about your government, your leaders. Those are the people who are in charge. Those are the people that are in charge.
I get your point.
Who's in charge of the coffers in Nigeria? Central Bank in Nigeria? Who's in charge of saying that you should be educated? Who's in charge to say that if you're 13 and you're on the road selling Coke and Fanta, you should be in school at 12 a.m.
Yeah, but that's not to say
PM.
That. That's not to say that the religious communities couldn't be doing those things if they wanted to.
No, but the thing is,
look at the madrasas.
I'm talking about ultimate responsibility. Ultimate responsibility, right, is to those who rule the country, the government, or else the thing is they dictate this by law.
Yeah, but one thing to add to Ori's point is this: if you look at, for example, in certain communities where there's an absence of governance, or those who are meant to govern have ignored their responsibility to the people will naturally use their values and try to commercialize it. Just like, for example, in Nigeria, and I've heard it several times from normal people, they'll be like, look, there's money in the church. And they set up the church because there's an absence of power, there's an absence of something that they're then being looked after, and they use it as a money-making tool. Let's look at, for example, I've watched some certain sermons, and the first thing the first few things that I hear is, hands up, who wants to become a millionaire? Hands up if you want financial breakthrough. Hands up if you want to do this. The church now has been turned into commercial worship, capitalism worship, whereby what is
they still getting blessings? They still getting blessings.
What is positioned? What is positioned is commercial blessing. So because I'm commercially blessed, it's coming from God. Because I'm commercially blessed, my how can the symbol of worship be a car or the shoe that you wear? How can that be an illustration of your worship? Is this what Christianity has come to? It is a disgrace. No person.
Kamisha, you got a scratching.
Yeah.
What are you doing over there?
If someone is coming to me and saying, yeah, is as a result of the cars and everything I have, that is what underpins my worship, I'm running. And that's why, for example, certain churches, why certain churches are in position as if we throw eggs, we throw this. Like, for example, for me, I don't mind saying it, I come from a white garment church background. That is what I know.
But is that the ones that throw eggs at certain, the wall and then it goes
certain,
on fire?
There's certain... I think again, is this.
I'm sorry. I think all again, my white garment people out no, there, I, think, I love you. I love
think
you.
Again, is this. Is unfounded comments such as these that splits, for example, the Christendom.
Okay.
And we have to deal with. But my point is, let's not have a sense of our pastors are so divine that they can't be held accountable if they create, if they've done earthly offenses. And let's not position the Christendom with commercial goals in mind. Because everything that's been preached right now in the world is... Hands up if you want to be a millionaire.
Financially free.
Financially breakthrough.
Because that's what
this.
People want to hear.
That's what. But it
yeah,
doesn't.
That's
but,
what they want.
But the reasoning behind why they want to hear it is still because the government is not doing what's supposed to do. Yeah. The government is meant to be taking care of them. Yeah. I'm sorry. In one way or another, either through welfare, or job creation, you're the ones meant to be taking care of them.
But these
in the countries that
are disempowered, though.
How?
Well, look at
how.
Well, remember we spoke about
disempowered.
Remember, we spoke about this. Remember the French speaking countries,
right?
Who have to pay that colonial tax to France every year.
Oh, because they weren't truly independent. I feel you. They weren't truly independent.
Yeah,
I feel you.
I'm pretty sure. If they decided, you know what, Cameroon, Senegal, Ivory Coast, Togo, let us come together and figure out a way that we're going to get out of this bondage. Has anybody taken the initiative?
Because
He died years ago. Who is taking up that mantle today?
You're so petty. You're cheap.
I said, who's taking up? I'm joking. I don't think Rwanda pays colonial tax to France.
Well, Gaddafi was taking up that
mantle. Hold on.
This is what really annoys me.
Too much time is spent lamenting on what has happened in the past. We use history as an excuse to scapegoat the problems that we are having.
That's not fair.
We didn't have the tools. Okay, we didn't have the tools to clean up this mess. I say it like, if a baby sees you cleaning, a baby can see you cleaning, you help the baby, okay, help me clean. If you left the baby with a mess, what's that child supposed to do?
They can't do anything.
Yes, if you haven't given, if they don't have the tools, if you've disenfranchised a community or society so much, and then one day you're like, oh, you want independence, my guy. Peace, and you leave us in commotion. And then you tell us,
if you've been independent for 50 years now and you're still in that. I can understand that colonialism. Look, what I'm saying to you is this. I'm not saying colonialism hasn't had an impact on our communities. It's had an awful impact. Let's call a spade. But what I am saying is, let's try to come to... You know the problem is? Despite the fact that colonialism has impacted our communities, how has our communities tried to come together to counter it? There's still a divide in our community, even if you were to exclude colonialism.
Yes,
because there's a mentality issue.
There was a divide that was left.
And then the problem is, the problem is, The problem is the Awusa man has his idea of how Nigeria should be run. The Yoruba man has an idea of how the country should be run, and the Yoruba man has a problem. And
what about the rest of Africa?
What about South Africa? With every other African culture that has a tribal makeup.
But Let me just interject. You're saying it like Nigeria was meant to be a country, like we were a country before even the colonial.
That's what I was going to say.
They're not meant to be a country. Nigeria is a PLC.
Okay, can we not just use Nigeria as an example?
Fine, we don't have to use Nigeria. But ultimately we were colonized longer than we've had independence.
Exactly.
It's not fair. Like, if you look at let's use America as a bait example. They've been independent for 300 years.
Yeah.
And there are people who are running our country that are older than our country. There are people who are older than a lot of independent African countries, and they're older than the country. Mm. Like, only recently were we getting rid of
through colonization.
Do you know
people
how many
lived through colonization?
They're still alive.
There are still people. Yeah, there are still countries that have the second or third president
since independence.
And you're thinking, whoa, if that's 50 years, how many terms have you guys had that you should have at least had maybe five? Mm-hmm. You should have had at least five or maybe
question
eight
to the group. All right, so how long are we going to continue to use the colonialism card?
For as long as possible. I have to make this last point. There's no nation that I know that was colonized for maybe 200 years or more, and in 50 years became wow.
Absolutely.
There is no nation in the entire world
that is wow.
We're not being fair to ourselves. We're not giving ourselves a chance.
Agreed.
It's a burden that we're placing on ourselves. And do you know what? We keep jumping steps, particularly in the development process. We keep jumping steps. And that is part of our problem. Every of these countries, for example, look at the UK. They were never colonized, fair enough. This is just like a random example, right? So they went from steam trains to electric trains. Mm. Now they're going to high-speed trains. Where have we started from, please?
Is that colonial power? Is that their fault?
Hold on. Okay. I'm talking about the development process. Start from somewhere.
Okay.
You start from somewhere, and the first place Africa needs to start from is being able to be sustainable in providing food for its people. And that's one thing that Paul Kagame highlighted in that interview that he had. He said, one thing that you guys keep forgetting is the fact that Rwanda is now self-sufficient in the agricultural sector that they can now export.
Okay.
How many African countries can boast of that? That's what I'm saying. We keep skipping steps. We keep skipping steps. We want to be the IT.
Because we're not running on our own timeline.
We want to have tech hubs. We want to have tech hubs, but you don't have the electricity. Where are you going to?
But hold on, we do have a couple tech hubs in Ghana.
That sounds.
But it doesn't make sense if you don't have sustainable electricity.
Okay. Also, we got to a point where there's a global. Okay, call it climate change. But we are still trying to develop using oil. What is that? When are we going to get, at what point? But
so is that colonialism?
You know the impact of Royal Dutch Shell. Yeah. You know what they did in the Niger Delta in the 60s. Yeah, exactly. So we can't. So 40 years later, you can't turn around and say,
I'm not also. Complete. Why haven't
one second, colonialism one second. Is the reason why we buy cocoa in dollars and not in cities and not in whatever currency that is produced in.
I'm not saying, and just to make it clear, I'm not saying that colonialism hasn't affected us. What I am saying is
pick yourself up by the bootstraps.
Let's take a leap of faith. And if everyone remembers what I said in a few episodes, when one African country wins, we all win together.
All right, let's work collaboratively.
We need to take a leap of faith.
We need to dust ourselves down.
Okay. Accept that colonialism has caused the problems, but let's look forward to the future and put practical steps and let's crawl. And then one day, Africa will walk.
Okay, thank you. We also have to mention the Africa Cup of Nations. group leaders. Oh, group leaders at the moment.
You guys know Dami's wearing a Nigerian jersey, right?
Yeah, yeah, obviously repping. Egypt, Nigeria, Algeria, Mali, Morocco. Hey, hey, can I read out the list, please? Cameroon, Mali, Morocco, Egypt, Nigeria, and Algeria are currently the group leaders. We're looking at a really interesting tournament, and hopefully, in the end, a good country will be victorious. Kamisha, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why didn't you want to look at the countries?
Because Zambia's not.
Listen, I have issues with African nations because when Zambia won, they gave us 1 year to have the trophy. 1 year, then they decided, oh no, we're going to change when we have it so that it doesn't coincide.
Don't worry, Zambia will win it next time. Don't worry. Okay, everybody, thank you very much for listening. This is Afrolog.